GLB, no, just what to do with it. So let's open with a word of prayer. Let's jump into our lesson this morning. I'm so glad you're here. You made such a good decision, and then you had an extra hour. Wasn't that nice? So let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the blessing that's ours every Sunday morning to come to this time that's set apart just for the study of your beautiful word. And now this morning, Father, I ask that you will just open our eyes to see things in your word, that you will instruct our hearts that we might be wise women living on mission for you in our generation. Help us, Father, to be equipped through learning your word. I thank you for every lady that is here this morning. I thank you, Father, that she got up, she prepared, and she's honoring you in the fact that she's putting herself under the teaching of your word. And so, Father, bless her. Bless her family. Bless her children, her grandchildren. And make us, Father, through the study of your word, to be a light in our world that is directing others to Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, finally, we're moving to the next chapter. We're going to chapter 4. We're going to cover 6 verses this morning. And I am so glad you're here. Now, one of the main reasons that John wrote this little letter was because this little particular church was being plagued by false teachers. And they were, by the way, a false teacher, they'll have a lot of truth, a lot of truth, and then they'll insert a little tiny something that is false. And you have to be discerning. They can come in and they can be so winsome. I'm going to tell you a story as I begin this morning. I used to go to an event in Nashville at Lifeway that was for women's ministry leaders. And so I went to this one event. I heard this lady, and she just was such an amazing speaker. And I just thought she was just great. And I just thought, I want all the ladies of our church to hear her. So I contacted her. I came back, told our staff, I really would like to get her to come to Brookhaven. And that's kind of back when women used to do things like that. Remember, we used to have conferences in churches. That's women, I don't know, they're not prone to like that anymore. But back then, we were come to set her up, and she said she would come, and we had her on our calendar. And then there was a lady in our Sunday school class who came to me, and she privately said, I don't know about her. She had some red flags. I said, oh, she's wonderful. Our women are going to love her. She's just amazing. Well, let me show you some things on her Facebook page. And then as I looked at her Facebook page, there were some very questionable things. And long story short, we had to cancel her. And usually Lifeway is so very careful about the women they promote, and you can usually trust them. She ended up, her husband was a pastor, but they ended up shipwrecking, and she ended up going into all kinds of crazy immorality. And so did her children. And I mean, the long of it was not good. It was so hard for me to cancel her because we had already paid a deposit. And we wouldn't be able to get that deposit back. And but then in the long run, that was the right thing to do. She was not genuinely a model for Christian women. And so had she come, they would have promoted all her books, we would have bought all her books, we would have gotten into all of her thing, and then she would have shipwrecked, and that wouldn't have been good for us or our women in our church. So in this church, there were false teachers that were coming in. You know, I think we live in a day where there are more false teachers than there have ever been. And access to them through the internet. I shared with you about my brother who got under the teaching of a completely false teacher. And just so scary. Because they draw you in. They suck you in. And you know, the Bible pictures Christians and the animal that he pictures us as are sheep. And sheep are very gullible animals. You know, they will eat anything. And they're just not good at protecting themselves. And so he's writing this because they were in danger in their church. You have to keep the main thing the main thing. There are things in our faith that are non-negotiable. There are hills that we will die on. And so we have to have good shepherds who, you know, a good shepherd, before he'll take his sheep into a tableland, is what they call it, or a pasture, he'll go in himself and clean that pasture out of poisonous weeds and things. And then he'll take his flock and let them feed in that pasture. So we have to have people watching over us. And John has a pastor's heart. And he's an old man now. And he's like their spiritual father. He is a true shepherd, and he's wanting to warn them. He's wanting to protect them. And then this morning, this letter comes all the way down to us, living in our generation. Do we need protection too? Do we? Absolutely. And we need discernment as well. And I just love that we're getting to hear John and his fatherly, shepherdly, is that a word, words to us. So this chapter, chapter 4, starts out with a command. So get your scripture page, and let's just read that command together. Then you have a blank to fill in on your handout. He says this, "Oh, beloved," he loves them so much. And he says, "Do not believe every spirit." So put that on your handout. In other words, he's telling them, look, you can't buy into everything you hear that is being offered to you and is being called, so-called, the word of truth. Come hear me. I've got the word of truth. In other words, don't be gullible. And the literal translation of that statement is this: stop believing every spirit. There are spirits of religion. There are spirits behind people who stand up and teach falsely. And he's saying you just can't be gullible and take in what every so-called Christian teacher or every so-called Christian preacher or every so-called expert says, and they're claiming they're speaking for God. How do you know what they're saying is right? Just because someone says this is from God doesn't mean that it is. So you have to learn to scrutinize what you're hearing. And jump down to the end of verse 6 and let me point out something to you. He says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So religious teaching, what I want to tell you, it's not neutral. It's not benign. And there are two sources of religious truth. So let's write them down. There is the real spirit of truth, and then there's another spirit out there, and it's the spirit of error. Don't be gullible, girls. Know these things. Know these things. Because the spirit of truth, well, that would be the Holy Spirit. He's going to tell us what is right, and we need to hear that. But then there is the spirit of error. And behind that are teaching of error are spirits. They're demonic spirits. They are satanic spirits. This is how Satan works in the world. He works through error. And so here's the truth about God's truth. It's been true all throughout the centuries. And it's that you have to guard very carefully the truth of God. You have to guard it. Now, this will take two things on our part. I'm going to be a woman that guards the truth. What does that mean, Teresa? Well, it means I'm going to have to know the truth. I'm going to have to understand sound doctrine, because you cannot guard what you do not understand. And then it's going to mean that I'm going to have discernment. And that means I'm going to have to recognize what is false. You know, my husband's a banker, so the way you understand counterfeit money is you're so familiar with real money that when the counterfeit comes along, you immediately recognize it. And so in our Christian faith, we have to be so familiar with the Word of God, knowing it, studying it, that when the false comes along, we hear the alarm. And then he says this, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. What are we to do? Teresa, what am I to do? Well, I don't just be gullible and swallow everything I hear because they said this is from God. I have to learn to test the spirits. I have to learn to test what I'm hearing. I've got to filter it through the Word of God. True doctrine, that word which is sent by the Holy Spirit and is energized by the Holy Spirit, that word which glorifies God, that is a very life-producing doctrine. That's what I want to hear. But false doctrine, do you know what the Bible calls false doctrine? It calls it the doctrine of demons. And it comes from what the Bible calls seducing spirits. It's a damning doctrine that has as its goal to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, you're very familiar with the fact that Satan is a liar, right? And actually the father of all lies. So he is going to set himself against the truth. That's what he does. You think, well, Teresa, Satan's so busy in the world, but did you know where he's the busiest? He's the busiest in the church. He infiltrates the church. He infiltrates with false ideologies and false doctrines. And if we're not very careful, we'll get sucked in. Because remember, we're sheep. And we have to be guarded very carefully. Now, let's go back and for a moment to verse 1. I want to pull that word test out. Test the spirits. Let's talk about that in the Greek. That is a word used to speak of testing metals. And like you would test silver or gold. And it means this, you put it through an evaluation. And I'm going to test it as to its purity and strength. So John is telling this group, look, you're in danger. You can't just let everybody get up and believe everybody. You've got to put things to the test. Now, there's only one way to test things, and that is to take the plumb line of the Word of God and bring everything you hear up to the Word of God. Now, go back to verse 1, and let's ask this question of verse 1. Teresa, why do I need to do this? Well, I need to do it, verse 1 says, to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How many? Many, many. Do you know what? This is a big problem in our day. Do you agree with me? It's a big problem in our day. And there's something that we got to learn to be discerning. And he shows up in the church. Now look at 1 Thessalonians on your handout. Because this is something that Paul told those Christians living there in Thessalonica. He said, do not despise prophetic utterances, but look what he says. Examine everything carefully. And that's the idea behind this command that we're getting this morning in 1 John 5:4. Now, you know what? This is really hard for us to do today. Because the mood of our day, well, we've got to be inclusive, don't we? I cannot dare say anything bad about somebody else or what they believe, because what you believe is your right to what you, I mean, everybody has a right to believe what they want except for Christians. That's kind of how I feel about our day. And if you are going to come up and stand up and say something, you better watch out, because you're going to get canceled. This is hard in our day. People feel bad, and they don't want to be discerning today because it's just so unpopular to say anybody is wrong. This is a big problem, and it needs to be addressed. Look at what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. He said, "Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing." Now, this is interesting, but prophets in this time wore wool. And so this is just speaking of their coming in the cloak and their claiming to be a genuine prophet of God. He says, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but notice, inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. Beware of them. That's what Jesus said. You've got to be discerning. You've got to be on the lookout, because they're everywhere in our generation, and they're subtle, and they're clever, and they're deceptive, and they're enemies of the truth, and they are dangerous. And behind what they are teaching are doctrines of demons. I remember a lady that I met from Wisconsin. She was a banker's wife. She was older than me. And she's just a beautiful Christian lady, but oh, so gullible. We were at a meeting, and I was visiting with her. Her dad had recently died, and she said, "I am so excited." I said, "Well, tell me about it." She said, "Well, I was listening to this radio program, and there was this guy on this program, and he was a Christian. He said he was a Christian, and he was channeling, and he was able to talk to the dead." She wanted to talk to her dad so bad. She said, "I just got so excited. And I bought his book, and I bought all that." I said, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, burn that book. That's all demonic." But because she was missing her dad so much, she just grabbed onto that. Ladies, we've got to be discerning. In fact, over our globe, there are whole countries that are just locked in demonic doctrines. For example, India. India has, it's a starving country, but did you know they had more food? They could feed their whole country. But because of reincarnation, they can't hardly kill anything, and they worship cows. So, you know, here the cows are treating like royalty over there, and the people are on the streets starving. You're locked in demonic doctrines. Then look at Southeast Asia and all the Muslims. And then you look at China. Oh, my goodness. And even in America, in the framework of Christianity in its broadest terms, so many of our denominations have died, or they're becoming so very liberal. It's just a massive problem. And I would just say to you this morning, I am so thankful for our church. Are you? I mean, I'm so thankful for the godly shepherds that are in our church that are guarding us. I love what is being preached. I love what is being sung. Do you know, I talk to many, many women, and they are moving to different places, and they'll say, "I just can't find a church. I can't find one where someone's teaching strongly the Word of God." In fact, I've always felt like Brookhaven's really so blessed in that we have so many strong churches in our town. But I'm going to tell you something. We cannot take that for granted, can we? We must be discerning. We've got to guard the truth. We live in a time where false teaching is so common. Now, that brings us to the question this morning. Teresa, how can I be discerning? Give me some ways, help me, and that's what John is about to do. He's going to give us three things in the next few verses. I'm going to go very quickly. Go to verse 2. "By this you know the Spirit of God." And John's going to show us how we can know If what we are hearing is of the Spirit of God and not from a demon spirit. Go back to verse 2 again. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And so let's write it down this way. You've got to, when you're listening, you've got to check out what do they believe about Jesus. So put that on your handout. Now, if you just take the demonic systems, take for example Jehovah's Witness, many others, Christian Scientists, you've got to ask, what do they say about Jesus? So many, they inevitably deny that Jesus was God. You know, the Muslims believe in Jesus, but they think Jesus never died. They think Jesus was just taken to heaven, and Jesus is going to actually figure in at the end time in the Muslim eschatology. But he never died. Well, if you have a Jesus that never died, what about your sin? It's not paid for. Because why are our sins paid for? Because Jesus shed his blood for us. That was the thing that gave us forgiveness of sins. They'll deny that he actually became in the flesh. They'll say, no, he was just a spirit. He was a spirit, and he came and he was here. He wasn't really in the flesh. No, the Bible says he was God, and he became a man. He's a God-man. These are just some things for you to think of. That's your first test. You've got to say, what is their Christology? What is their belief about Jesus? What is their doctrine of Christ? Do they believe in the Trinity? Do they believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity? Do they agree and confirm that everything that is taught in the New Testament about Jesus is true? That he was born of a virgin? That he is right now at God's right hand as our advocate? That he was our substitute? That God was satisfied with his sacrifice? I mean, what you think about Jesus really matters. You can't afford to mess up in any way, because those facts are critical to salvation. It is a hill that you are willing to die on. And so if a teacher comes along and has the right view of Christ, they meet the first criteria, but that's not all. There's something more I want to add here. It's more than just recognize that he came in the flesh, and I know all the facts about him. That doesn't tell me for sure that they have the Spirit of Christ. And I'll tell you what I mean. Look at Romans 10:9 on your handout. It says there, this is another element that I want to add. I'm going to pull out one phrase of that, where it says, you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. You believe and you confess. Now, if I'm confessing he's my master, that's going to affect my life. And so, you know, I'm going to have a lifestyle that looks like Jesus is my master. But that's not all. You see, do you know that the demons know all the facts about Jesus? Look at James 2:19. James says, you believe in one God, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder. They know all the facts about Jesus. They have the right Christology. But you see, they're not submitting to him as Lord. They don't bow the knee to him. They don't confess him as their Lord. So the right view of Jesus is the beginning place that is going to help you see if this person is for real. Well, Teresa, some people say this. I know there's one God. Just everybody calls that one God a different name. The Muslims call him Allah. Other religions call him another name. No. I've got to have somebody that recognizes that my God is the God of the Bible. He's the God who he reveals himself to be in Scripture. Let's write down what Jesus Christ means. You're going to confess Jesus Christ. What are you saying? Well, Jesus means King, the Anointed One, the Messiah. And, Jesus means Jehovah saves. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. I know I messed you up. Don't get upset. Jesus Christ, Christ means King, Anointed One, Messiah. So when I'm confessing him, that's what I'm saying. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not from God. And verse 3 says this, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You see, that system denies the deity of Christ, and it's a spirit of error. In fact, it's Antichrist, which means against Christ. So, those who are true confess the full truth about Jesus as revealed in the New Testament. Let's go to a second test. Does their life give evidence that they have the Holy Spirit living in them? Now let's go to verse 4 to see this. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, the false prophet. Because greater is he who is in you. Now, who is in me? The Holy Spirit. And greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. Who is in the world? Who? Satan. And here John is speaking to true Christians, and he's saying to them, you don't need to be afraid, my little children. You belong to God. You have eternal life. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in you. So you've got a protection. We don't have to go around being, oh, I'm so afraid I'm going to get in the wrong thing. No. Trust who's in you. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've not believed in Satan's lies because the greater one lives in you. And so being discerning means that you look to discern. You listen to the one who is in you. You're looking for genuine fruit in the life of the person who's speaking to. You want to see, so many times, false teachers will be saying one thing and living the other. In fact, I don't have time to teach this to you, but I'll just give you three marks of a false teacher. Greed, if you want to just write this in the margin, they're greedy. They're immoral, and they're rebellious. They're not under authority. They don't even do what they're telling others to do. And they're in it for the money. They're greedy. And many times, sexually, they're very immoral. So let's go to a third test. And that's for another Sunday school lesson. I can back that up out of 2 Peter, 1 Peter, and Jude. So that's for, and we're coming to Jude, so we'll be looking at that, which is coming up in our lessons. All right, so you ask yourself, and here is the third test. You ask yourself this question. What is the source of their teaching? What is the source of their teaching? Because their source is going to reveal which kind of spirit they are of. And there's two sources. You've got the world's wisdom, and you've got godly wisdom that's revealed in the Bible. Let's go to verse 5. We're almost done. They, speaking of false teachers, are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Listen, they're going to be very popular. People are going to listen to them. But on the other hand, look at verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. You see, the world listens to those who are false because they're speaking worldly things, and their theology has as its source demonic ideologies. I mean, their thoughts are coming out of the world. We're going to see this verse in chapter 5 of 1 John, but I want to just point it out. Because look at it. The whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. Do you realize that those who actually believe the truth of God are just a very small part of the world's population? Because the vast majority of the population of the world is swept away in false teaching. They don't recognize our language. Do you ever wonder about people? You're talking and they just don't get it. They don't get you. They don't get what you're saying. And it's because they don't have a capacity to hear it. Look at verse 6. But we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. You know, you come here on Sunday mornings and we look at God's word together. And we're just in total agreement. We enjoy God's word so much, but the world doesn't. Do you know the world would not tolerate my Sunday school lesson this morning if they were to hear it? They wouldn't tolerate it. Now, we're almost done. Here's the bottom line. When you meet teachers and they come with their teaching and you don't want to be gullible but discerning, what have we seen in our lesson this morning that we should do? Well, first we've got to ask, what do they believe about Christ? What do they think about Jesus? And then I've got to look in their life for fruit of genuine salvation. And then thirdly, I've got to listen to discern exactly what is the source of their teaching. Are they just teaching psychology? That's a big thing in our day. Psychology. Or are they teaching biblical wisdom? So before I ever accept any teaching, I've got to be discerning. Have you ever just been listening to someone and they are saying a lot of good stuff, but then something is unsettling with you about what they're saying? It's just like the Holy Spirit's putting up a red flag. It's like a warning light that's coming on. That's not a bad thing. That is not a bad thing. I would just say to you, if I ever say something that you say, well, I don't know about that, get your Bible out. Don't just accept everything. Now, I'm going to be very careful in what I share with you. And I'm only going to study good sources to bring you your Sunday school lesson. But don't ever, I invite you, challenge me in any way you want. These things we've looked at this morning are tests of discernment. Now, here's the deal. The generation before us passed us the baton. You know, we're just one generation from really being in a huge fat mess. We kind of already are, but we are now entrusted to pass the baton on to the next generation. And we've got to guard the truth. And we've got to be sure that what we're passing on is pure and holy. It's gold, it's silver, it's the real thing that we're passing on to the next generation. Now let's meet in our small groups in the all of chapter 5. Is that what I put on your handout, page 41? We're going to discuss as many of those questions as we can, and then we will come back and have a word of prayer.